you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's your daily podcast in which we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate Revenge of the Sith, one dangling minute at a time. I'm Alex Robinson from comicbookalex.com.
I am Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Jarena from at Evil Jarena on Twitter and Super Dork House on YouTube.
I am Jenna Bush from at Jenna Bush, B-U-S-C-H, like the beer, not the president, on Twitter and LegionOfLeia.com.
Welcome back. Closing out the week with us here.
Thank you.
TGIF. We are talking about minute 115. 115 of Revenge of the Sith. It starts off with Yoda clinging on for dear life. And it ends a minute later with Darth Vader and Obi-Wan Kenobi continuing to duke it out on the lava thing. I don't know what that thing's called.
Duking it out on the lava thing.
Industrial lava beams thing. And stuff like that. So, yes. So we see Yoda hanging on his nails, digging into the
scrapey nail noises. Don't like those. Yeah.
No, especially that there's a lot that's implied here. Because then Yoda, like, what would it take? Is there some force stuff going on? Like, what his nails have to be really strong and really sharp.
To cut into metal.
It's and weird. You would have to be really heavy, potentially.
Like, yeah.
It doesn't seem like any of those things are the case.
Yeah.
He's got to weigh, 25 pounds or something?
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
Luke can walk around with him on his back.
Yeah, like, it's a weird detail to put in there, and I don't necessarily think it's needed. The other thing is, the problem that a lot of prequels, not just Star Wars, but just in general, a lot of prequels fall into when you have characters that are still, that you see in the main films, is that if you know someone survives, it's really hard, just story-wise, to put stakes on it. Like, you don't... You know Yoda's fine.
Right.
So, seeing him bounce off stuff and seeing him, you know, his little jacket flutter to the ground, which... Why?
I'm not sure.
Is it a jacket?
It's a robe.
Yoda's jacket, right. Though. That's what I'm calling it.
Yoda's
cardigan.
It's the Yoda's cardigan, yes. But, like, there's no stakes there.
Right.
And it's a really... I mean, it's not like it's an easy thing to do. I mean, just from a storytelling standpoint, that's a very difficult thing to do. And I find that they spend a lot of time on this battle when we know that neither one of them dies.
Yeah.
So
And there's not a whole lot going on in this minute for that, where it's mostly just both Yoda and Sidious dangling from the giant frisbee
with frilly underpants under the robes or something. I don't know, but yeah. Although the Emperor seems to be happy about dangling.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
He's laughing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That amuses me to no end. Hanging out, like,
this is so nice. I'm getting a breeze.
Yeah.
So it could just be sensory overload. Like, he doesn't even know how to handle it.
Yeah.
How to deal
he
with
just
it.
Had a lot of fun.
He was just remembering a joke he heard before, making him laugh. So getting back to what you said about we all know what's going to happen. It would have been great if all through the prequels Yoda was like a regular size guy.
Yeah.
And then at one point he fell and got squished, and that's explaining how you were like, well, how does he turn small before the end of the movie? And there you go. So that would have been like,
and you didn't even know that he was Yoda until then.
Yeah, exactly.
I did write smush in here on my notes. I actually did write Smush.
His name was Yolanda, so then when he got
I was going to say, what would be the long name? Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yolanda. Oh, no, I like it.
That's good.
I like it. But I mean,
Yolanda's jacket is what we saw. It's like
a clothing store.
It's Yolanda's cardigan. Jacket.
It's got a little, it says Yolanda in script right here, embroidered.
And the letters got ripped off. Oh, like Hello There and Hell Here and Batman.
Batman Returns, yes. Yeah. Great reference, Jenna.
What is the significance of that shot? Why do they linger on that? Like, is there some...
I was wondering. Cardigan. I was like, oh, something's about to happen. Nope. George just decided to have Yolanda's jacket land on that pole, and then we cut to the other scene. It was really bizarre.
Yeah.
I know that they were really, and with good reason, they were really proud of the cloth. Yoda's the cloth rendering and the specifically with Yoda that they got his kind of flowy robes to be so, you know,
flowy robes,
so realistic looking, and it's they do a great job, but maybe this is kind of a, you know, a victory lap for that team.
Like if he had a different outfit later on and this was how he lost his famous cardigan, I mean because that's the thing, like with prequel wise you know that Anakin is now Vader, but you don't know exactly why he's in that. So you know terrible things have happened, but you don't really know the physical moments of it. And so seeing that was exciting. But you do know that Yoda's fine and the Emperor's fine. And
but that's interesting, too, that you bring up the whole, like, the rendering process and CG. I mean, obviously, these movies, whether you love them or hate them, were revolutionary, technically, right?
Yes.
And so what's...
We all agree.
What I think... But I also think because they were trying to make things look a certain way and use special effects in a new way, that also affected the story negatively. Because I feel like some of the director's decisions were like, okay, well... That looks really cool, even though it doesn't really add any emotional depth to the story.
Yeah, it's like we can do this, so we should. Right. Yeah. It's sort of, in a way, to a much lesser degree, if you look at like some of the newer Disney princess movies or even Monsters, Inc., where they can render hair in a certain way now, that all of a sudden you've got this insane amount of hair, or you spend a lot of time with Merida's curls bounce. I love Merida, by the way, but you see a lot of that because now they can do that, or you know, just like what they did with Coco with the skin on Dante the dog. Like they worked really hard, so then there's a lot of pratfalls, which I think worked in Coco, but there's a lot of pratfalls with the dog because they can do all this stuff now. So
you've had to mention Coco and now we're all crying.
I did. See, I am a Sith.
I dropped my notes.
Well, speaking of rendering, I will give compliments to the digital crew, because in that hand where they have the close-up of his hand, the skin looks really, like, it's really good.
Yoda's hand?
Yeah, the close-up when they have the nail. I just noticed on his hand, it just looks like a cool texture. It looks it looks good.
Yeah, let's keep giving props to, giving props to them, because, you know, it seems like maybe we're too negative towards the visual effects team. Yeah, we've got them on the spot. Keep in mind that in this whole sequence, basically it's nothing. It's Ian McDiarmid wearing a robe, rolling around on the floor.
Yeah,
on a green floor.
Laughing. Yeah.
That's why he's laughing. Yes.
And everything else is created by these, you know, these amazing technicians,
so
wizards, artists.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, there's so much that they're adding to this, and it's easy when it's just one thing that kind of doesn't click right. It's easy to kind of, you know, turn against it. But when you think about the fact that there's really nothing here that they're creating,
basically
so much
an animated
of this
movie.
From nothing.
I mean, this is still early days of CGI, really. So it is amazing that they could do that. It's amazing what we can do now. But it's you know, since we're pulling it apart minute by minute,
right.
You know, we have to go into that. But I think that, I mean, that would also explain why we have a scene with the nails scraping down metal. Not that doesn't really make sense, is that we can do this.
Yeah.
Right.
Which explains Mustafar, really, in general.
Yeah. But just even the fact that, like, they can make something that doesn't exist look like it has enough weight to dig into something else.
Yeah.
That doesn't, you know, that's... I kind of see, like, what the strategy was there. It just doesn't work because they're fingernails.
Hello everyone, Pete the Retailer here, coming to you from Bombas headquarters. I'm speaking with Dr. Craig Evigan, one of their top researchers. What have you got for us, Doc?
Well, Pete, as you know, we set out to rethink a product that is an afterthought for most people, socks. Athletic shoes have advanced tremendously in the last 20 years, but socks still look and feel exactly the same, until today.
Amazing. Based on this futuristic hologram you're showing me, it looks like Bombas has come up with not one, but seven improvements to the humble sock.
Yes, Bombas socks utilize stay-up technology, have a blister tab to prevent chafing, they have a seamless toe, a honeycomb support system, and a cushioned footbed. They also have a Y-stitched heel, and are made from extra-long staple cotton.
Warm in the winter, cool in the summer, durable, yet soft. Incredible. But Doctor, how will this impact Bombas' policy of donating a pair of socks to the needy for every pair they sell?
We are happy to announce this policy is still in effect, and we look forward to donating our 8 millionth pair of Bombas socks.
Fantastic. There you have it, folks. You can save 20% by visiting bombas.com/Star Wars. That's bombas.com/Star Wars. And entering the offer, Star Wars, in the checkout code space.
I wonder what this would have looked like if, let's suppose George Lucas had, like, after Return of the Jedi, said, yeah, I'm just going to keep making these. And so, let's see, this would have come out this would have come out in 1992, if he kept doing a movie every 3 years. I wonder what it would look like in 1992.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. 83, 86, 89, 92. Wow.
What movies were... With big special effects
like
came out
year
around then.
Before Jurassic Park, right?
Yeah.
Jurassic Park was 93?
Something like that, yeah.
Which that movie still looks fantastic.
It really does. Yeah. It really does.
But would he have been pushing that? I mean, I'm trying to think of what was it, 90 or 91 was Total Recall, which has a lot of kind of like practical, you know, a lot of model work and a lot of kind of, you know, miniature and practical effects on that.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, you would think that when you have... when you have it more difficult, you end up being a little bit more creative.
Yeah,
right?
It's like directors who have a smaller budget often have to find creative.
Right. Like the original Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Much like Star Wars.
Right.
Yeah.
Or the classic example of, you know, the shark not working in Jaws. So right. To kind of, you know, create an atmosphere because he didn't have a shark.
Yeah, you look at something like Moon with Duncan Jones, where all the stuff's done with miniatures and it's so fascinating to watch because that's, you know, low budget, but it's still so cool.
Right. Yeah, but on that note too, though, like I feel like a lot of people, you end up hearing them complain, oh, because it's CG, it's bad, you know, which I disagree with.
Oh yeah. Right.
I feel like that's how maybe I used to think when these movies came out.
This might be why.
But it's not, that's not the case. It's not the CG itself. I think it's just how you use CG and how you mix it up with whatever else is going on in the scene and complementing it with practical effects and other things. Like the Harry Potter movies, like a lot of them do look a little bit, you know, outdated, like the troll or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But some of the later ones actually, like there's all of these really great, like, combination practical and CG effects that I think is better for the story at the end of the day. So
and even the stuff, you know, we've kind of hit on this a couple of times, but like the stuff that you don't really the stuff that doesn't stand out as much, the subtler stuff is often the stuff that, you know, it's hard to realize exactly how much stuff goes into this, how much CG work goes into all this stuff.
Yeah.
And when you step back and think about it.
I'm only hacking because I'm being force choked by someone.
Right. Yeah.
I think it would be interesting to see, I mean, I guess it'll happen eventually, probably sooner rather than later, and all, I know, not like Clone Wars, but an all CGI realistic Star Wars movie where all the characters are rendered in computer. I mean, we're almost there.
With Marvel, we've got Groot and Rocket. I mean, I don't see why we couldn't. It would be really expensive. But
yeah, also I did not like, that's the one thing I didn't like about Rogue One was Cartoon Man.
Who's Cartoon Man?
Tarkin.
Oh, Tarkin.
Yeah, because it wasn't, if they had just done it like from the back where he turned around once or he was in a
shadow
hologram
on his face.
Yeah, like there's so many creative ways that could have been done that would have made it like so cool to see.
Yeah.
But
I think they got so excited that it turned out well that they went overdid it.
Yeah. You know what's funny though? I saw it in 2D and in 3D and in 3D it actually looks a lot better.
Oh, interesting.
In 2D it looks weird. There's just the Uncanny Valley thing is just too strong. But 3D, you really don't see it. And actually, my dad didn't know that.
Yeah, I heard that. A few people.
My wife
was
confused for a little bit. She's like, wait a minute, I thought he died. Did they use archive footage?
My dad didn't know he died. And I was like, Dad, he died like a long time ago. And he was like, really?
Oh, a long, long time ago. I'm so sorry.
He's like, I knew Leia, but I knew that wasn't her, but I didn't. Like, oh, wow, Dad.
No, he was not the only one. I heard the same for me. For me, it was immediate. I mean, obviously knew he was dead, but like immediately obvious. I was like, this looks like a video game character right now.
Mm. Maybe I'm in the minority, but I loved it. I thought it was great that they were pushing the envelope. You know, it's Star Wars. That's what they're known for.
It's cool that you can do it.
Yeah.
But I really think, like, if he had been on screens, that would have been okay. If he had been in holograms, it would have been great.
I like the chutzpah of having him not just be like, oh, he's in the background like that. Like, the fact that he's in a lot of scenes talking, I just admire the gutsiness of putting it out there.
We're just not quite there. There's still Uncanny Valley. There's still a thing that makes you recoil a little bit.
No, I think the gutsiness of it, I understand. But, like, it just took me out of the movie.
Yeah.
Right. But one thing that I do remember from later in this movie is that we get a Tarkin that doesn't look like Tarkin.
And that's terrible.
Mm-hmm. And I like this, from what I recall. Again, we'll have to go back, and once we get there in this movie, I'll have more notes about it. But yeah, like, I liked that the kind of Polar Express Tarkin better than the
you just brought up the reason I hate it.
See?
Yes.
I'm terrified of the Polar Express.
Do not like that movie.
But I like that version better than the guy who doesn't really look like him. There's a different Uncanny Valley kind of
Well, they're both
there.
Creepy.
What if would you be okay with them, Alex, or anybody, like, you guys, I think you're going to say no, but would you be okay with them going back and replacing this guy who's later in this movie with the CG Tarkin from Rogue One?
Totally.
You would be, I know.
Yeah, would you? I know you're against special editions, but does that apply to the prequels?
I don't know. No, because that's what we're doing the Blu-rays for this, because I don't care. So
I don't know if that would bother me. I don't know if that would bother
me. He's so far away.
Because you're not using a different... It's not like Anakin in the Force Ghost Anakin change, which bothered me. If you die and you look like that,
Oh, that's right. That's another thing that I would have hated about watching the special edition of Return of the Jedi in the theater.
Did you know that when you saw it for the first time? Or were you
Skywalker died, he looked like that.
Wait, I thought that actually it was still Sebastian Shaw in the special edition in the theater, but then they changed it for the DVD.
That's right.
I mean, I think
they just erased his eyebrows for the special
edition. Yeah,
but that's what everyone was like. Why does he have eyebrows?
Right.
No,
yeah,
but I think
it's he didn't die because he's still Anakin at the end of Return of the Jedi. I mean, he is.
Yeah,
he's redeemed.
Yes,
he's Anakin again.
Jenna is correct.
Mm-hmm. He's redeemed.
Don't us, Pete. He is correct.
So, what is your argument that because he's Anakin at the end?
Then Anakin didn't die at the end of Revenge of the Sith.
He died as Sebastian Shaw, and that's why Sebastian Shaw at the end of Return of the Jedi makes sense.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay. So we're in agreement about that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. How did I just paint myself into arguing, like, for the special edition?
I was going to say.
What happened
there? Become the very thing you swore to destroy.
Wow. But no, I don't think it would bother me that much if they put Polar Express guy in here, just as long as they're not changing the content or the stuff around him. If it's still the same movements, the same lines, all of that stuff, I don't think that would bother me too much, because you're not trying to say he's a different age or a different
Now, what about their plan to replace Harrison Ford in all the original trilogy with this new guy, Aiden Erickson? Are you guys in favor of that?
Wait, Alden, are you joking? Because I wouldn't put
past
them.
Please be joking.
No,
don't do that. Don't do that.
Got it.
Please, no.
Fair enough.
No.
Well, back to the minute at hand.
All right.
Here.
We have Vader and Obi going.
So then
it.
We switch to all of a sudden, Obi-Wan jumps onto this dangerous, like, ledge.
Right.
Because that's
lava
what you would do in a
underneath.
Fight.
Because, like, there's literally no reason to do that.
None.
Because if you're a Jedi, you can just, like, jump over your opponent.
Uh-huh. Right.
So that was a dumb decision.
Yeah.
Is he playing to his own strengths? Does Obi-Wan have, because, you know, different people study different things with the Force, and they have different areas of expertise. You know,
do they, Pete?
This is what I understand. This is what I've been told. Force is what gives a Jedi his power. It's an energy field that surrounds his penetrates.
Oh, wow.
I'll tell you later.
Actually, it's midichlorians. No.
Oh, God.
it seems the way it goes is people have different strengths and different, you know, study different things. So is Obi-Wan, we know he's good at hiding. Is he also better at basically balancing? Is he more of a physical
Clearly
force
not
user?
In the scene.
No,
because they're both
well.
Trying to balance like idiots right. with their rave yeah. glow sticks.
But does he think that he's better? So like, was he better than Anakin at balancing, at physical force stuff, which is why he hops on there. He's like, oh, Anakin is totally a goofball.
He's afraid of heights.
No,
he's,
you know what?
He's a total klutz when it comes to this. And then so he jumps onto the thing. But Anakin is now Darth Vader. Anakin is much more powerful because he's tapped into his dark side. Mm-hmm. So then when he follows him on there, he's like, oh, well, he can balance now.
Right.
Great. So then
Anakin couldn't do that, but Darth Vader.
Exactly. See, I don't think there's, I don't really feel like acting-wise there's much motivation to do that. It's, we can do this. This is a really cool thing to do on green screen.
Yep.
So let's do it.
I right. agree.
It's sort of like one of the Hobbit scenes where they're running up, and oh God, they do this in so many movies, where they're running up a stone path and it's crumbling underneath them. They're
right.
just, no, it, that's not how stone works. Mm-hmm. And they did it because they could. Mm-hmm. And they did it because they thought it looked cool.
Yeah.
But there's no real motivation for it.
Mm-hmm.
I have issues.
I agree. No. Also, but also, he. I mean, if I was Obi-Wan, I would have literally just jumped over Anakin. Like, mm-hmm. that's... I mean, I already also would have, feel like I would have beat him. And I keep calling him Anakin.
Would've.
I know it's Vader, but to that's me, right. it's Hayden Christensen is Anakin. Anyway.
And from Obi-Wan's point of view, it's
yeah.
Anakin's.
Yeah.
yeah, exactly.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The other weird thing is, like, Anakin can totally just cut that beam with his lightsaber and the whole thing would have fallen down into the lava and that would have been the end of things.
That's true.
Yeah. Just the thing I do like about it is
murder-suicide.
Like, the part where Obi-Wan's farther out, so he
just
cut
right.
it. And
that because
plot. That is
saw
true.
Saw the branch.
Yeah, he does the cartoon thing where he saws off the branch, but then the tree falls.
I guess, you know what, though?
Or like Wile E. Coyote, he ends up falling instead of the Roadrunner.
Jedi are in training. They're not allowed to watch cartoons, so he didn't know.
No attachments to cartoons.
But, right. He watched the Looney Tunes cartoons later when he was in hiding all those years.
Exactly.
He caught up on TV.
Oh, that would have been such a great idea.
That's why Anakin got that.
Why did I think of that?
Although I do kind of like that it evokes the end of Empire where Vader is forcing Luke out onto the end of that that thing.
Yeah, oh, that's
a little
bit, but
it's not ring theory, but
yeah, I think I did write gantry enough. Somewhere in here.
Gantry.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk about the random tiny robot showing up?
Yeah. Oh, he's so cute. I like him.
Yeah. But for what
reason? He's the gossip robot. That's why everyone knows that Mustafar is totally screwed because he's like, oh my God, you guys, I saw these guys fighting and it totally
I don't
sucked.
Think that's
no,
what
kidding.
He looked like.
No, I'm
though.
Totally kidding.
He just shows up and he's just like, hey, what's going on? Oh, these guys are fighting. Okay, bye.
Yeah,
that's like it. Gotta go around.
That's
that seemed
it.
Like a Flintstones thing. Like, yeah, oh boy, you know, I'm not
so
paid
good.
Enough for this, and then he
that's,
zooms away.
And this that goes back to when we first arrived. When I first arrived on Mustafar, this whole issue, this whole problem with like they can't just have like Mustafar is cool. Like they could have just shown this, you know, vast volcanic, you know. Planet with you know the whole landscape. There's stuff blowing up. There's stuff you know igniting into the air, but instead they have to make it busy with all this other little cutesy robots coming in and out of the lava and guys kind of you know mining for stuff in the lava. They have to throw all these extra stuff.
Busy is a good word.
Yeah.
You know it's they can't just leave well enough alone and have it be cool because
it is the
cool.
Rococo school of filmmaking.
Rococo.
Yeah.
The what?
Art school.
Oh.
Well, the only
I can't draw. I'm sorry.
General nerd over here.
I can't even draw. I can't draw anything other than a happy face. I'm sorry.
The only way I would defend the robot is that it sort of establishes it so that later on when Anakin, when Vader is standing on the robot.
Oh, God, that happens. Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. It gets much worse than this. It kind of establishes it so that when it happens, you're like, oh, yeah, that's that cute robot.
And you still thought this movie was better than Return of the Jedi at some point.
Well,
you still thought that.
I have my faith. I'm sticking with it. I'm sticking with that story. But Sorry.
You were defending the special edition earlier, though, Pete.
Yeah, I don't know what came over me. Let's go back to... When we first started this whole project, I was my stance was I was willing to sacrifice Empire to, like, if Star Wars should have no sequels. I was like, you know, the bad of the prequels and the bad taste that it left in my mouth is not worth what I get out of Empire and Jedi.
Wow.
Let's cut off every in my world when we started, it was like Star Wars was great. They did the holiday special, and everybody was like, "You can't do that anymore." And they cut off everything.
And the Muppet Show.
Else. Yeah, and the Muppet Show, of course.
Yeah. Don't like
My Empire T-shirt is crying right now.
I know.
I get it, though. I
just
understand.
Thought you had spilled something, but it's
And I was like, "No, there's still some good in them. I can sense it." And you're like, "No, they're more machines now than man."
And now look at me. Now we're here. I was just defending the replacement of Sebastian Shaw.
Good.
No, but I've relaxed a bit.
Hey.
Allowing myself to have more fun with this kind of stuff, but it's still
so
not
close to the Shmee thing from which Zelda, I can't remember which Zelda game that is, but Zelda. It's Zelda with the fish.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Wow, that was really nerdy, but you're right.
Totally. Hey, small fry, or whatever he says, right? When he
Shmee.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, do we have anything else for this minute?
Yes. So there's that, I can't say the first part of it, but there's a blank slap. Yeah. Basically, Anakin totally slaps Obi-Wan, and I love that. I was like, I thought that was
that is kind
of
cool.
The only good part of the whole prequel trilogy is when Anakin slaps Obi-Wan. Yeah. That's my favorite part of the prequels.
So if you were doing like viewing order, you would say that slap, and then the original trilogy.
Right.
So really, all you
just watch this clip of a slap, and then watch Star Wars.
Or when you guys ask me for the ranking, it would be basically like, you know,
that's the only part that
5, 4, 6
slap,
and then. Bitch slap. Yeah. Oh, I said it. Damn it, I said it. I tried not to.
It's going
to
sound a lot worse.
Oh, that's true.
I don't remember that part. I got to go back and watch this movie.
I really tried hard not to swear, you guys.
I've had to stop myself a couple of times.
Yeah. It's hard not to break into profanity when you're watching this film.
It's true. Right. I did. There was a string. It was quite a string of profanity when I had to rewatch this for the book. I had a lot of trouble.
All right. So now, is there anything else about the end of the minute 150?
I'm stuck on this. My world has been shattered now that I know this robot comes back.
It's a bad robot.
Well, that definitely comes
back. That was yes.
Yeah. Now, now you're going to make me have to watch that scene now.
Yeah.
Oh God, we are going to have to watch it, aren't we?
Well, I guess that'll wrap it up. Thanks for coming back on the show. You guys want to plug your respective shows again?
Yeah. Okay. Time? So I have a website, legionofleia.com. I have the Legion of Leia podcast, which you can subscribe to on iTunes. I don't know when this is coming out, so I can't tell you what cons I'm going to be at. But So
I'm
also
your appearances for the next 3 years or so.
Where am I going to be the next 3 years? I do have a book that I contributed to coming out called Daredevil Psychology. It's part of our Psych Geek series of books. I think it is the 8th now that we've done. And the foreword is from Stan Lee.
Wow.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. I recently started a YouTube channel called Super Dork House, and it's really fun and unprofessional, and you guys should watch it and subscribe. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Evil Dorina. Do not add me on Facebook. Facebook sucks.
All right. Taking a stance. All right. So also.
I thought you were going to ask me. You turned to me.
Yeah.
For my plugs.
What are your plugs? I understand you have another podcast that you do on the side.
That's true. On the side.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, actually, I do. I do a show called ABC Devo, where we go through all of Devo's tracks, album tracks, alphabetically, with fellow Minute podcasters, Tom Taylor from Indiana Jones Minute and John Engel from Alien Minute, and my other friend Joe Mazel, who doesn't do a Minute show yet, but we'll get to him.
Wow, he doesn't do his own podcast?
That's he has no podcasts.
Strange. Weirdo.
Yeah. I don't understand what that's like, but you have another show too.
Yes, I do a show called Godfather Minute, where we go through the Godfather movies minute by minute.
That's cool.
It takes us 20 years to do it. But I also wanted to plug our opening theme by Dan Whitley and his Rebel Force Band.
That's true.
It's a terrific album. And don't we have a link set up? Well, I want our homepage at StarWarsMinute.com. You can find a link to it. But didn't we set up like a...
I believe StarWarsMinute.com/theme.
Theme.
We'll go directly to the link where you can buy the album. It's full of choice cuts. If you guys haven't heard the Dan Whitley and his Rebel Force Band, Living in These Star Wars. It's fantastic.
Oh, I have. Went to your live podcast at Meltdown, and they were and I'm a music snob, and they were fantastic. They're great.
All right, then, everyone. We'll be back on Monday with another brand new, never before heard Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute.
How to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.